You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome, everyone, to our most recent episode of This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. This is going to be a very exciting episode today. Jonah, how are you?
I'm okay. My collarbone is broken. But I'm out of the sling.
You're out of the sling, yeah.
So I actually went for, I'm not supposed to per doctor's orders, but I can't help myself. So I went for two runs already in the last 3 days. The goal was I would just go at my husband's pace and he will remind you that he's very slow. And so it's actually been very nice. And it's actually been really nice. It's been really great because I've been going crazy watching people run by my house and being so jealous that I can't run. So it's been a relief. A little bit of exercise.
We'll make sure to send this this episode to your primary care doctor.
Just so he won't listen and he won't get it and he won't read the emails either, trust me. So
well, I am very excited to have Laurie Gordy, who is our Vice President for Academic Affairs, Dr. Laurie Gordy, joining us today on the pod. Laurie, welcome.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Jonah.
So before we get into questions about Laurie, I want to talk about myself.
Yes, please. Let's do that.
Topic. Yeah. this is the first week of July is like always a very exciting week because it's the new year for us. Mm-hmm. So July 1st is the start of a new fiscal year and everything changes. But yesterday was also my birthday. But more importantly, tomorrow is my daughter's 18th birthday.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Wow. That's a significant.
How does that make you feel?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I people always tell you how it goes really fast and you rationally know that and then you have an 18-year-old and you're like, how could I possibly have an 18-year-old? But here we are. So, but happy July.
Yeah.
And I am excited to be in the new fiscal year and lots of exciting things to happen in this year. So, let's get started with you, Laurie. For those who are listening who don't know you, could you tell us just a little bit about yourself? Who are you? What brought you to BCC in the first place?
Sure. So I'm Laurie Gordy, Vice President of Academic Affairs. I've been at BCC now for 6 years, actually today.
Really?
July 8th.
Whoa. Wow.
Wow. So today is
happy
my
anniversary.
Sixth anniversary at BCC. Just hitting me right now.
What a way to plan that, John.
I know.
I did this
nice
on purpose.
Job,
I checked with HR. So, I'm that good.
I came here from Newberry College, which was in Brookline, Massachusetts. And if you don't know, Newberry College was a four-year private institution that served a lot of first-gen and racial minority students, and unfortunately had to close due to financial reasons. So I had to find another job and started looking, and came as a dean of humanities, behavioral, and social sciences, and did that for 3 years, and have been in this role now for 3 years as well.
I think it's hard to fully know Laurie without, there are two things about Laurie that once you get to know her a little bit, you know. One is that she has an infectious laugh that you're hoping we get out.
Into to hold it in.
There it is. And the other is that you came into higher education as a sociologist, and
Laurie, sociology?
Yeah,
I've
no,
never
Josh,
heard that
the best
before.
Hidden secret.
What?
Of BCC.
Oh my God! This is so news. Right. Breaking news, everyone.
Yeah.
All right. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, Laurie has a good story, I think, about how you found yourself to sociology that I think would be interesting for people to hear.
Yes, that's true. Thank you, Adam. So, when I went to college, I didn't know what sociology was, as I'm sure many of our listeners may not have heard about it when they were in high school either. And my first year advisor, he was my Spanish teacher. I was thinking I might major in psychology, and he suggested I take sociology. I didn't really know what it was, but I trusted him and his advice. And to this day, I think it's the best advice he ever gave me. Others might not agree, but I took the class, and it was like love at first sight. And I've always kind of supported the idea that people should find their passion, whatever that might be. So it might not be sociology for many people.
Hard to imagine.
I know. It's in the world that's really kind of imagining this like fictitious world that sociology might not be the first love of many people, but I think it might exist. But whatever it might be, define your passion. Because once you find it, it really kind of resonates with you and speaks to you. And so I think there, looking back at my life, I realize there are reasons why sociology really appealed to me. But had it not been for my advisor to suggest that, I would never have taken that class and never have really kind of broaden into what sociology is.
I mean, one of the reasons I like that story a lot is it's something that in my career I've really embraced and thought about. I feel like people come to college and you meet someone, you go to a grad party, and the first question you ask a person is, what are you going to major in, right? And it's interesting because we have so many students who come here. They might be coming right out of high school, but we have a lot of adult students mm-hmm. who've decided, I'm going to take advantage of our free community college program. I'm going to come back. And I think that there's a lot of pressure on people
right.
to have figured out why they're here and what they're going to do. And one of the things I've thought about a lot over the last almost 25 years is this idea that we would use the term undecided as a major, which we don't even allow students right. to do here. And it's such a passive state to be undecided.
Right.
I really like the idea of our students being active in their deciding. So students being deciding students when they come in. And one of the things I like about your story is it's a conversation with a mentor.
Yep.
You end up taking a class. You end up falling in love. And so you go from being an undergrad sociology major, and then where did you go from there?
And then went on to my master's in sociology, and then my doctorate in sociology as
wow.
well. So I never left the field once I found it. So yeah, I really do credit that faculty member, and I did take Spanish in college as well, which my Spanish right now is not very good. But I took it in college, and he just happened to be a first-year advisor. A lot of four-year colleges, as you know, Adam, train people to be first-year advisors so they can work with students to kind of help them figure out and then help with the transition. That's what he did. And so I really look back and think, wow, I'm so appreciative of that suggestion and of that kind of idea. And then once I found it, it was really and then even when I found sociology, I think what appealed to me so much was, and I had some earlier experiences in life around inequality and injustice, and particularly racial inequality. And so my paper I had to submit for graduate school was around racial inequity in education. And I feel like that's kind of been defining of my career. Like, I taught a lot of classes around that. And then many of us come to community colleges because of a commitment to social justice and to improving the racial inequities in society. And so I feel like that paper and that experience of exploring that in my undergrad really kind of shaped my future career in a lot of ways.
So two things that I want to talk about. One is you I don't think you mentioned, but you went to UConn
yes.
for graduate school, which is another thing that it doesn't take very long to know Lori to know that she's a huge women's basketball fan, and specifically the University of Connecticut women's basketball team. But I'm also interested in how you came to BCC as the dean, as you said, and then ended up making the transition into your current role as VPAA, or the Chief Academic Officer. So I think we'll take a quick break, and when we get back from the break, maybe we can talk a little bit about women's basketball and then being the VPAA.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email from BCC. Volleyball is coming back to BCC. Make sure you mark your calendars, as the varsity volleyball games are coming to a home court near you. The first game is Thursday, September 11th at 6 p.m. in the Patterson Gym versus the Massasoit Community College Warriors. Our team is impressive, with phenomenal new coaches and a dedicated team who have been practicing to win every tournament. So mark your calendars for September 11th and check out the volleyball page of the website for the entire fall schedule.
And we are back to the second segment of this episode's This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. During the break, we were chatting about women's basketball, and I think it turns out that Jonah is not a super big... I don't think it's about women, it's just
no.
basketball in general.
I mean, I understand the sport, I know how to play the sport, I'm horrible at it, but I don't... That's the limit for me.
It's interesting because my daughter, the one I was just talking about, is turning 18, has gotten really into Formula One racing, and car racing isn't a thing, but I've watched a couple of races,
yeah.
the last two races
yeah.
with her and her friends, and we went to the F1 movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Which, the movie, yeah.
The movie was great. I according to her, it's like very unrealistic in terms of the actual rules of F1. But you know, you can pick up new things that you like as life goes on. So maybe there's a future in
women's
basketball.
There's hope for you, Jonah.
There's a future for women's basketball.
Well, you have a choice. You can be sociology or basketball. Women's basketball.
Those are my only choices.
That's
I do
it,
not
Jonah.
Like this version of the multiverse. So no.
So Lori, we'll move into the question about your transition here. But why don't you talk a little bit about your love for UConn women's basketball and
sure.
women's basketball in general?
Yes. So when I went to graduate school at University of Connecticut, it was when, and I was towards the end of my graduate school time, after I'd finished my master's, I was able to start teaching there. And so I was teaching part-time, and then I'm working on my doctorate. And that's when Gino Auriemma, the coach of University of Connecticut women's basketball, had kind of just arrived at the end of my time. And it was kind of, if you know anything about women's basketball, it was the era of Rebecca Lobo, who now is an announcer for a lot of women's basketball games. So she had just kind of come to the college. And so I started going to the games, and it was very easy at the time to go to the games. Now it's much more expensive. Mm. It was much more affordable, and there are plenty of seats. And I started going and became a much bigger fan at that point. And then left when I finished my program. They wouldn't let me stay forever. And my first full-time job was in South Carolina, University of South Carolina, upstate. And the next year in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Final Four was there. So, of course, we got tickets.
That's great.
To the Final Four, and UConn played in the Final Four. They didn't make it past the first round. So to the point of which, not only do I still follow UConn women's basketball, huge fan of the WNBA, Women's National Basketball Association, and we kind of socialized, I'll use that word, our daughter to be a basketball player at age like three. We bought her first hoop. So she played in, she loved it herself. That wasn't like forced. Played throughout, started playing when, you know, with little kids, young, and then played throughout high school, did not play in college, but did travel basketball and all of that. And so I was a big basketball fan of hers too. And now, like even last night, I watched a WNBA game. So the summer for me is very cool. It's hot, obviously, I realize, yeah. But very cool in the sense that there's a lot of, for me, a lot of options for watching the WNBA, and I now have the app, so I can watch just about every WNBA game I want.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. Yes. So who's your favorite player?
Oh, gosh, I've got so many.
And make sure I know who they are.
Okay. I don't know if you know Breonna Stewart. She's one of my favorites. Really big fan of Maya Moore, who retired several years ago.
Yeah, she's good.
Really good player, and then also just a really good human being.
Maya Moore played for the Minnesota team, and I met her at the airport one time.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Really?
Oh,
yeah, I was with the girls, and they were little, and we went up.
Did you walk up?
Hi.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You just tell me. Oh, that's a very cool story.
She was very gracious. Yeah.
Yes, she is very. And she's a great player. I think also, now I really am also a big Paige Beckers fan. You might have heard of her name.
Yeah. And she's from Minnesota.
And she's from Minnesota. Wow. See, I'm getting all these points with Adam. Yeah. And Adam saw her play
and
when
all
she
the
was younger.
With me too, because
I did. So Lori and I kind of share a love for basketball, and I played all the way through high school, not in college. That's a story for another time. Mostly, I wasn't good enough. It's not that long of a story. but then I reffed and coached, and I coached all the way through my younger daughter getting through the Boys and Girls Club here in eighth grade, and coached other people's kids. But I got to see Paige Beckers play when she was playing AAU, when she was very young, and she was very, very good at 9, 10 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's move on.
Okay. So moving on, I think the question, you know, you mentioned that you came here as the dean in what at the time had a different name than it does now.
Humanities and social sciences, yeah. And then behavioral was added, yes.
and then you made the transition a couple of years ago into the vice president of academic affairs role. Tell, for people who haven't had administrative experience, like what's the difference between being a dean and how was your transition into the vice presidential role?
The dean has a lot more of management of faculty, or supervision of faculty, I should say, direct supervision of faculty and the schedule, and a lot more responsibility for the classes and the quality of instruction to a certain extent. So the vice president of academic affairs oversees the deans, but also has more of a visionary, which I think is something different. You probably have seen this too in your transition from different roles in student affairs and enrollment management. And so it allows me to kind of think more strategically and to work with a broader team. And so I think we have in the division the Library and Learning Commons. We have our Center for Teaching and Learning Innovation, Executive Director of Academic Operations, Planning and Assessment, and then the Divisional Deans. So I think moving from the dean, which was much more of like, if you're going to use business terms, middle management, where you're doing a lot of the daily work and you have obviously some control and some autonomy, and yet you also have to, you know, answer to above, I guess, and then moving into where you're not to the top because we have a president, clearly, but moving into like a higher level where you can shape and guide a lot more of the vision with input, obviously, and guidance from others. And I think that has been really, you know, a nice transition. It's also nice because I've, you know, gotten to learn around other disciplines, about other disciplines, and welcome new faculty across the campus, and not just in the humanities, behavioral, and social sciences, and better understand our nursing program, our respiratory program, our natural and physical sciences program. So seeing that bigger picture and the connections, I think, has been really fun for me, too. And then getting to work with other members of the executive council too. It's been great.
I think that we talked at the beginning about how we're going into a new year, and it's been wild since we closed down for the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. We made this shift to go completely online. We then, which you were here for and helped
yes.
us make that transition. I think had not been here that long.
No.
And then we've had a lot of change.
Yes.
A number of people have sat in the seat that you're in now.
Right.
But we stand at this moment where enrollment has really completely recovered from the dip that we saw actually going into the pandemic. We're now back up, probably I don't know where we're going to land this fall, but we're currently tracking up 32%
wow.
headcount for fall, and we have a new budget that just came from the state that has some and the federal government as well,
mm-hmm.
has some exciting things, but also has some challenges. So I think we'll take another break, and maybe when we come back, we could talk about, you were talking about vision, but like the vision moving forward in the context of some of the changing landscape that we're dealing with.
We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Have you heard the good news? BCC and PHS have been officially designated an early college program by the Massachusetts Board of Higher Education and Board of Elementary and Secondary Education. Eligible PHS students can enroll in BCC courses, either at PHS or on the BCC main campus, online, or in a hybrid format, earning dual credit that both satisfies high school graduation requirements and counts toward an associate degree starting their sophomore year.
All right, we're back with Lori Gordy, and we finished up the last segment talking about the changing landscape that we're dealing with. Some disappointing news for us in the state budget: the STEM Starter Academy money was not renewed, and I think that's something that we haven't really had a time to have sink in and figure out what our plans are next. On the other hand, there's some good news at the federal level. We were funded for our SSS TRIO grant for another year. That was something we were very nervous about and concerned about. It's only a one-year renewal, so we'll have to remain vigilant in our advocacy for that program. But it is good that we know we
yes.
have it for another year. Also, there was some really scary rhetoric around Pell, and it hasn't come to fruition. I do think the Medicaid stuff could be difficult
yes.
for the state
yeah.
and how it's going to fund some of our programming moving forward. So we're going to continue to exist in an environment of uncertainty.
Right.
But I guess the question for you is, as you navigate that from your spot, what are some of the things that you see as opportunities, things that you're excited about, big changes in academic affairs?
Yeah, so obviously, as you mentioned, with enrollment up, it's kind of an interesting time because enrollment's going up, and yet in some ways our resources are being constrained from the federal level, or could be, and from the state level in this degree of uncertainty. And I think, and you mentioned this earlier too, that there's been a lot of transition in this role of Vice President of Academic Affairs or Provost. And so having been in this role for 3 years, it's kind of broken the record for the past several people. So having a little bit of stability.
Yeah.
And I think we just last week onboarded a new dean of science and business. And so I think having that new ideas are always great. We're also welcoming 7 new full-time faculty this fall,
wow.
which is very cool.
That's like a record, isn't it?
For a while.
Right?
I don't know what the year when Charles Park and them
yeah.
came,
yeah.
how many that was
that year.
That
was a lot, too. You're
that was
right.
that was 2015, so it was
yeah.
the year before I was
yeah.
here. I don't know what the number was, but right yes. around there,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so it's great. And I think one thing we've seen, so we have a great onboarding for new faculty and a new faculty seminar. And last year, even when we had 5, it formed a nice cohort, and they became close with each other. Which is kind of a nice, you know, because then it kind of breaks down some of the silos within academic affairs, because there are silos by division and by department even. So having 5 new faculty across the campus was great, and they sort of relied on each other for that. And so having 7 is another strong cohort, which also goes to your point, like it shows you that there's been a lot of change. So with either people retiring or, cuts or whatever other reason, resigning for other reasons, we have a lot of them have been retirement, actually. We've lost, faculty over the years, too. And then also with the growth, the college, which I really appreciate, has invested in hiring new full-time faculty. Part-time or adjunct faculty are great. However, there's just a level of how much we can expect from them in terms of commitment. Many of them have other full-time jobs or adjunct other places, and so it's a lot to ask them to do other pieces of the role in addition to teaching. So having new full-time faculty adds fresh ideas and the presence to advise, to build the programs, to come up with new ways of supporting students. And I think having this strong cohort, and it's a very strong cohort, I'm very excited. And in the past, we've had a couple searches that haven't gone well. So to have a new business faculty member, I'm very excited about. It's a program that's really growing as well. To have a new psychology faculty member who will start in January, but that's really great too, because it's a new, different ideas. And so also new biology faculty members. So the growth in these areas where we need more classes and more stability in the building of the program has been really cool. So there's some, I think that will help us, but you're right. There is this degree of how do we deal with this uncertainty. And I think part of it for me is going back to what brings us all here. And I think sending that message to faculty, and one of the things I've loved that we've been doing is a common professional read. And so we have another one for this year called Distracted. And it really, and same thing with last year, Teach Students How to Learn, begins by like breaking some assumptions that we might, that any, all of us might make about students and how they've changed or where they've changed, and really saying that some of those are really assumptions. It hasn't, it's not really historically accurate. And so looking at the historical evidence around attention span, which is what this book does a little bit in the beginning, that humans really have grown and evolved to not really have a strong attention span. And so looking at that as kind of a grounding and looking at research, looking at historical evidence, what pulls us together, how do we create active, engaged classrooms? And I think that's what helps kind of keep us focused when there's a lot of uncertainty that we can't control.
Yeah. Yeah. And that'll be an exciting book. And I think conversation for us to have as we think about our students and probably also ourselves.
Right.
And I think that was one of the things that everybody came out of the pandemic, you know, thinking like how do we create the new normal? And I think these are really good conversations. Anything else going on in academic affairs? We should probably mention that Community Day is coming. Jonah, what is the date of Community Day?
Saturday, August 16th, 2025, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at BCC, celebrates 65 years of bringing college to the people. Too many things happening to list. It's going to be the most epic get-together of anything on campus ever. It'll surpass our 50th and be the most fun you've ever had.
Wow.
And if you don't have fun,
it's on you.
kind of. There's so much happening. Go to /communityfest for more information. That was going to be a commercial, but I don't have to do that one now. So thank you, Adam.
I was thinking when I said it that we might still work it in as a commercial, but you can decide. Is there stuff happening from Academic Affairs that you're excited about?
Yes. So I think we are working to create more meta majors, which are these larger programs which students can come in and then figure out which pathway. So it'll take a little while, but the education is working on that too. So do you want to go into early childhood? Do you want to go into elementary or even secondary education? You're all going to come in as education majors and then take some classes together and figure out from there so that students, again, back to your undecided piece, you don't have to really know. Obviously, the natural and physical sciences is another meta major that happened a couple years ago. The liberal arts, which again is one of our strong programs, has created pathways, which are guidance for advising. So it's not like built into the system, but it gives students a way to look. How do I want to use my credits? You have 15, you know, credits in the liberal arts program, and you can still do them anything, any, you know, kind of a mismatch of whatever you want, or you can choose like history or English or other areas, communication, et cetera. And so it allows for students to see, here's some direction I can go in, and then hopefully with the Liberal Arts 101, learning about the different programs, you can then figure out which one do you want to focus on. So we have some great new kind of meta majors in the works. We're also working on one in fine and performing arts. So that sort of exists as one, but also so that students can come in, they can figure out which area, music, theater, or art do they want to go in and kind of help strengthen that program. So that's, again, I think something that will help with your point earlier, Adam, around people who don't know exactly what they want, but also know they have interests and passions in certain areas, and then give them a chance to explore it. So that's something I'm also really excited about, too.
And I think it keeps students on a path, right? So if they come in and they think they want to major in A and they end up making the move to B, 50% of our students change their major when they come here. So it's not an uncommon experience, but I think the more that we can when a student changes their major, especially if it's early in their time, to not delay their graduation or their transfer is one of the goals, right?
Right.
All right, great. Well, that brings us to the end of this segment, and we'll be right back after this message.
BCC is celebrating its 65th anniversary this year with the BCC Community Fest on Saturday, August 16th, across the entire campus from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.,
We will have food trucks, a beer garden, soccer tournaments, pickleball, volleyball, campus hikes, a preview of Critters in Hoffman, face painting, touch a truck, build a Burke, and literally so much more. We are in need of many supporters to help make this event possible. Please consider signing up to help support this event that day. Compensation will be provided. Simply check your email for the link from me to sign up to volunteer that day. You might be wondering what the limit is on how many volunteers we need. Well, as Lindsay Lohan once said, the limit does not exist. So please, sign up today.
All right, well, welcome back to our final segment. I think Lori was talking at the end about some of the things that are happening very much on the curricular side, but I think you also are working with Linda Claremont on some work on the non-credit side.
Right, so we have been, and this is a big goal for us this year, is to begin to expand even more some of the pathways from non-credit, kind of the workforce community education side, to credit-bearing programs. And one of the ones that we're building off of is our paramedicine concentration, which takes some credits that students might have gotten in EMT, which is a program that Workforce has been running, and puts that they can count certain number of credits if they pass that certification and then add more of our courses to get the paramedicine. So that's new for us, and new concentration for us that we're launching this year too.
That's really exciting. And I think, you know, I think we you and I have talked about this, the idea that it doesn't always have to be from the non-credit into the credit. Sometimes
right.
A student might start on the credit side and for whatever reason either want to supplement their education with a non-credit certificate or move to a non-credit program because it quickly gets them into the workforce as well.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lori, thanks so much for being on. I think we'd like to just end with some casual stuff. So any big plans this summer?
So we've taken several trips already, like little trips. And then we bought a small camper a few years ago. Yeah. And so we went to Letchworth State Park in kind of about 45 minutes south of Rochester, New York. Beautiful. If you have never been, highly recommend. One of the best state parks I've ever been to. So we already did that. We're going to camp near Portland, Maine. And if you don't know, Portland, Maine has some really good breweries. That's my other passion, if you know a little bit about me.
I think there's beer at Community Fest.
There is. I was going to say that earlier, and I was trying to like not use that. As every time you mention it, do you know there's going to be beer there?
Yep, there will be.
And so we're doing that. And then we have one last camping trip in August to Moreau State Park in New York. So Maine, New York. And that's kind of been, we've been just doing like little fun things on the weekend. I did goat yoga at Hancock Shaker Village past weekend. Fun.
With
really?
The goats.
Very fun with the goats Saturday. I highly recommend that too.
That's
giving
shocking.
You all kinds of like, I know I'm helping Hancock Shaker Village at the same time helping BCC.
That's great.
But it was fun and it's a beautiful location and spot to do yoga.
Oh, that's cool. How about you, Jonah? Anything planned this summer?
2 weeks or probably by the time this airs, I'm probably already on vacation, but we have a house we booked in Plymouth on the Bluffs. Just a little bit south of Plymouth, and my parents are coming with us for a couple nights for the first. My mom has not been to the ocean in summer ever. She's only been to the ocean off season, and
wow.
So this will be her first
wow.
time. First time in my life that she's been to the ocean during summer. So, and she's obsessed with oceans. So she's very very excited. I low key hate the ocean.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. It's just everything about Anakin Skywalker hates about the ocean. So do I. So or hates about sand and everything. That's right. But that's what we're doing. And then we have a trip with the dogs in August, right before Labor Day. We're doing a house in the Wells, Vermont with the dogs.
Oh, nice.
And we're really excited.
Very cool. Yeah.
Oh, my aunt and uncle live in Camden, which is right by Wells.
That's really nice. It's a beautiful place. Yeah.
We were at the beach last week. We were in Narragansett. And I'm going to Tanglewood tonight, kind of like last minute.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
So who's playing tonight?
Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, so by the time this airs, you can tell everyone when they see you what you thought about that show.
Absolutely. So yeah, please
That's
ask
fun.
Me.
Wow.
And maybe just real quickly for all three of us, any media that you're consuming? Lori already talked about watching the WNBA, but are you watching any shows, reading a book, anything to recommend to folks?
I have read some really cool books, but and I'm getting ready to start, and now I'm blanking on the name of it. Wally Lamb has a new book out, and I like to read some of Wally Lamb's stuff, and I can't remember the name of it, but I'm going to start soon. And then I am waiting to watch The Bear, but then we kind of consume it all at once. And so I will do that. Mike's been away, my spouse, and so when he comes back, I said, okay, we're going to then start watching it, because I like to just do it. You
We're
know,
in the same boat. We haven't started it yet.
But I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
Same. We are slowly getting through Murderbot on Apple TV, which is really, really fun. It's very short, which we like. I'm listening to The Way of Kings on my audiobook.
Oh, I love The Way of Kings.
Because I couldn't read it. It was way too hard for me to read, so I'm listening to it, and it's much better, I think.
It's like one of my favorite series.
I can see that now. It took me a while to get into it, but now I'm like obsessed, and that's all I listen to. So.
Yeah. Wow.
And then there's too much going. There's too much. I have like 300 other things.
President Kennedy loves that series.
I know, which is really interesting. I know. Wow. She told me that, so yeah. Adam, what about you?
I've actually seen movies 3 days in a row. I can't remember the last time that has happened. We rented movies, and then we went to the F1 movie yesterday. Yep. I am reading a couple of different books. I'm always reading a couple of different books. But right now, one I'm reading is The Color of Law, which is it's tough, but it's really good. It's kind of based on the idea that kind of legally created some segregation in the country pretty intentionally and that we have to, it's very sociological and legal, that we have to kind of deconstruct some of that if we actually want to have equity as a society. So fun.
Yeah. Light summer reading.
I know, there's another nonfiction book that I've been reading that I also do highly recommend called Everything is Tuberculosis by John Green. He's the author of The Fault in Our Stars. But this is like really interesting to look at like health inequity. So it's nonfiction. But seeing where TB has shown up
throughout
history.
My niece just got that. She's a biochemist major at UMass. She just got that book at North Shore Bookstore.
And I saw the guy get interviewed on a podcast.
Oh, you did?
And
about the book?
I thought
Wow.
And it was amazing how he could connect literally anything to tuberculosis. Yeah.
We could probably keep doing this for another like few minutes or more. Just to get the whole show, but we do have to start wrapping up. Well, so take us out.
Lori, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. I hope everyone that is listening is taking advantage of your vacation, taking care of yourself. We have probably a month, maybe 5 weeks before there's a pretty major rush, and faculty are going to start working on your fall course. I'm sure many of you are done working on your fall classes, but if you're a procrastinator, you'll start in a few weeks to get ready for the fall. We really hope that you take some time to take care of yourself and come back energized moving forward. And Jonah and I may get another one of these out this summer. And we appreciate, as always, you listening. Thanks so much, Jonah.
Thank you so much, Lori. Thank you so much for being on our
thank
show.
Thank you both for having
thank
us.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will see you all in the very near future. Special thanks to Adam Klepetar, my co-host, for keeping this podcast going. Additional shout out to Lori Gordy for being an incredible guest for this episode. Special thanks to Alzi Mercado, who has the patience to keep this thing running, and to Dave Cachet at PCTV for sharing this podcast on all of the platforms. Finally, I'd like to thank you, dear listener, even though each time I say dear listener, I sort of feel like Lady Whistledown, for continuing to subscribe. My name is Jonah Sykes, and thank you for listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, which I've heard there are many different versions of throughout the podcast space. So thank you for choosing this podcast over all the alternatives that have the same name from Berkshire Community College.